Amen. Let's remain standing and bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kind presence to be among us, Lord. You're coming down with a shout in this hour. We commit ourselves, Lord, to the going home. We pray, Father, that your divine presence would be with us tonight. We pray that you would help us to understand our role in the family, Father, as children of thee, and the attributes, Lord, which you have placed within these vessels. We pray that we would humbly, Lord, resign ourselves to the manifestation of the revelation, to the manifestation of the attributes that lay within us as sons and daughters of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In Genesis 1 and 11, we are shown in verse 11 that the law of reproduction states that every seed must bring forth after its own kind or nature. In other words, the seed of a wheat plant must be a wheat, and therefore look like a wheat, must smell like a wheat, must feel like a wheat, etc. This is the and this law is across the board for every form of life. Therefore, it is a law of life. And so we hear God say in verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding its fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Now I'd like to follow it up with John chapter 8 and verse 44, where Jesus is speaking to the most religious people of his day, the Pharisees. And he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." In other words, he's saying the law of reproduction says every seed will bring forth after its own kind or nature, and therefore by your very actions it shows who your father is, whose seed you are. "He was a murderer from the beginning," Jesus said, "and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." Again, in Matthew 23, verse 25, Jesus lays it on big time with the Pharisees, letting them know that no matter how religious they are, the very fact that they are denying the Word made flesh among them shows that they are of their father the devil, and that they are the seed of the serpent. And they therefore must act and talk just like he did before him. And how is that? Well, he was very religious. He worshipped and made sacrifice to God. He led in the worship, etc., as Brother Branham said. In fact, Cain offered sacrifice to God even before Abel ever got around to offering sacrifice. In Genesis 4 and 3, it says, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Now, before we go any further, I want you to know that Cain's sacrifice was totally scriptural. It was Deuteronomy 26, a first fruit offering. In Deuteronomy 26 and 1, it says, "And it shall be that when thou come into the land that the Lord thy God shall give thee as an inheritance, and possess it and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God chooses to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say to him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God." So Cain's sacrifice was very, very scriptural. But back in Genesis 4 and 3 we read, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." So he brought a very scriptural offering. "And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? So Cain worshipped God before Abel, and he offered sacrifice even before Abel did. And Cain's sacrifice was a much prettier sacrifice than Abel's bleeding, dying, bloody lamb. But Abel had a revelation from God, and Cain did not. In Hebrews 11, verse 4, "By faith by faith or by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Notice Jesus, and jumping back, excuse me for doing that, but Jesus jumping back, jump back into John 8, Jesus is saying, look, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. You're religious, you're on the outside, you're all clean, you're religious, you're doing everything, it seems to be just right, but on the inside, whoa, look at your motives. You see, thou blind Pharisees, first cleanse that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto all men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye are witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. In other words, if you're children of them that killed the prophets, and every seed after its own kind, then fill you up that same measure. You're going to do the same thing. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Now this evening I'd like to continue with our reading from paragraphs 106 to 109 of Brother Bram's sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed, because we want to examine his thoughts that speak of this law of reproduction. In paragraph 106 he says, now in this God foresaw and predestinated a world of sons and daughters, he predestinated them to be there. 107, he says, Christ couldn't help being what he was. He was the Son of God. That's it. See what I mean now? See, if you were intended, you see the Word of God. You believe it. Because why? There's something new. See? Why? Have you ever heard of a strain in a family? Of a son will kind of impersonate his father or a mother or grandfather or grandmother? That's a strain in the family. You've heard it, haven't you? Well, that's the same thing from predestination. You were supposed to be right in here at the beginning. But being that you come the way that you did, you're subject to the fall. But being that you're predestinated, you hear the word and it brings you right back where you were predestinated. Amen. Never saw that before. Brings you right. And what makes you believe the word of God and turn down these other things is because there's something in you. Way back yonder, you was made to live here forever. All right, scripture for that preacher, here it is. All that he foreknew, he called. All that he has called, he justified. And all that he has justified, he has already glorified. Then what's the use of preaching, Brother Branham? Well, there's a crop out there. Only thing I'm doing is saining. I'm just throwing it out there and see where it goes. If the repellents, the grease of the muck of the world denomination throws it off, I can't help it. But if there's one out there that can absorb it, he will turn to be a son or daughter of God, just as sure as the world. Amen. Because it's predestinated. That's the reason that God could work his works through Jesus. He was a predestinated son. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before 100 billion, trillion, million years ago, that we said in Genesis 1 and 1, spoke of a while ago, he was right then predestinated to take his place. Amen. That's the reason, the will of the Father, he did. He was the Word made manifest. And every one of the other sons will have the same manifestation, and that's the ones that was predestinated. So notice Brother Branham is saying that Jesus could not help to manifest exactly what he's ordained to manifest. And because every seed must bring forth after its kind. Well, then what about you and I? You can't help being who you are. You can't help acting like you do. Now, maybe there's certain conduct that we do that we shouldn't do. But in here, you see, it's not out here. It's not always that which manifests. You look at a plant out there. Sometimes by, weather or by an animal running through the bush, or by the farmer's instruments out there, it may cut the plant. It may cause the plant, may run over the seed, may do damage to it. But there's something in the seed trying to produce what it's supposed to produce. You see? And that's the way we are. There's something in you that wants to produce it. Sometimes we don't exactly produce the way we're supposed to produce. Sometimes we don't exactly manifest, or let's just say, God may use you to bring a word to a certain people, and maybe because of your nature, maybe you've been run over by the tractor or run over by people or whatever the situation is, that you may be a little bit quick on the trigger, or you may hit it a certain way, or maybe hit it a little bit too hard, but it still gets there. You see what I mean? In other words, the desire in the heart is still to do, still to manifest. And as long as we're in the body of this death, it's not going to be the perfect manifestation it's meant to be. But in here it is. And God doesn't look at what's out here. He looks at what's in here. So notice Brother Branham is telling us that Jesus could not help but to manifest exactly what he was. Because that's what he was ordained to be. He was ordained to be the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. And if that was so in him, then with all seeds it has to be the same way. Then also with serpent seeds. And as Jesus said, he spoke of them, he said every seed will in fact must bring forth after the nature of the seed donor, or the one in whom the seed came forth from. For that is the law of reproduction. Then every one of us can be no different than what we are ordained to be. You see? Therefore God has set forth a great drama that is unfolded in this hour, just the same as he has unfolded a great drama in the Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ. So when Brother Branham says, and every one of the other sons will have the same manifestation, and that's the ones that was predestined, he's saying that if we are sons of God, as Jesus was the firstborn son of God, then there are certain strains that run in the family that must be identified in each and every son of God. And of course, we find in Acts 13:48, it says, all that were ordained to eternal life believe. That's one of the strains in the family that happens to be all of us have that same strain in us. You see? In Romans 8 and verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is a law of life that Paul is talking about here. He calls it the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. So we're looking here at the law of life, the life that was in Christ Jesus, actually being fulfilled in us. So we see that this is the law of life, and it concerns the spirit life, or the spirit of life, or the spirit life that was in Christ, but of which has also come into us after it was released to us from the vessel of the firstborn son on the day of Calvary. Because when he died, Brother Branham calls the Holy Spirit the spirit that was in Jesus. The very life of God that was in him was released back upon us, and it was released from that body. And that life has come into other sons, namely us, that it also might manifest itself in our flesh. So the very Son of God seed, spirit, life that was in him is the very Son of God seed, spirit, life that will manifest in us. Now you see, what makes us different from other men depends on who our Father is. If we are sons of God, then we will have God life dwelling in us. And if so, then we will manifest God life attributes in us as well. If we are born of the Spirit of God, the same Son of God life that was in the original Son of God seed that manifested in his flesh is now in our flesh and is waiting to manifest that same life in us. Now it's important to understand the source of the seed in order to know what attributes to look for in that seed. We have already shown that Jesus said about the Pharisees in that they claimed to be God's seed, but their own actions manifested what life operated in them. But we also hear John tell us in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And so this word of life is a seed which the sower sowed. And John tells us in verse 2, for the life was manifested. Now I want this to soak in. The life was manifested. In other words, the Son of God, seed life, that was in the firstborn Son of God, came into manifestation in that flesh, in that body, in that vessel. And as a result, John says, and we've seen it. We've seen what? The vessel? No, we've seen the life manifested in the vessel. And we bear witness to it and do show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, this may be a very crude way of expressing it, but if I had a balloon here, you know, like just one of these long balloons, and I blow it up and it's just, you know, a real long balloon, it means nothing to you. But when I begin to form and fashion it, I can make a little, how many have seen like the little dachshunds? You know, they make the little long dog with the little legs and the tail. Well, see, that's what God, that seed that we are. When we're in the seed, when we're only in that seed form, which is attribute of God or seed or word form, you can't really understand what it is that you're looking at. I mean, you have to be a real, real expert to know the difference between many seeds, because there's many, many seeds that look alike. But it's when they finally manifest themselves, that's when you begin to understand who they are. All right? So if that life that was in the Father, and in the Father, then when it came forth from the Father, came forth as the original seed, which was Jesus Christ, God's firstborn Son, that which we have seen and heard, in other words, that which we have seen is the actions of the God life in the vessel of the firstborn Son, and that which we have heard are those words which that firstborn Son spoke, which were actually, he said, I say nothing but what the Father has given me to speak. But John 5:26 says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So where did the Son get his life from? He got it from God. Where did he get his name from? He got it from God, his Father. You see? And remember, John 5:19 and 5:30, Jesus said, then answered Jesus, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, that doeth the Son likewise. And John 5 and verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And again, John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Arise and let us go hence. Therefore, what I want you to see in these verses is that I want you to see how beautiful the very life that was in the Son of God manifested itself. It manifested itself in complete obedience to the Father's will. And again in John 12, verse 49, it says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So he did not speak without knowing what to say, because he was dependent upon his Father to know what to say, and that is exactly what he then said. Verse 2, for the life was manifested in the chosen vessel of the original seed, Jesus Christ, and we've seen it, and we bear witness to it, and do show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In other words, the very purpose of the manifestation of the Son of God's seed life is that they could witness how that life manifested itself in the body of flesh called Jesus, by viewing how he lived out that life. That becomes a pattern for us, so that we can see how we should be living out that same life in our vessels. John goes on to say, that which we've seen with our eyes, that which we've handled with our hands, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So that being able to see by John's words, he said, that which you've seen and we've seen and heard, we declare unto you, which means we've spoken unto you. So when you actually hear the things that he saw, the things that they handled, they touched, we saw the God life expressed, basically. He said, then it's given to us in that format so that we also can have fellowship with the Father and with His Son. All of God's, then Brother Branham says, all of God's sons must be the same. See, yes, sir, to be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken Word again, like John 3. See, to be born of water and Spirit. What does it do? Then it brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning. See, that's the reason of Christ's death. Brings us right back again to where? Sons of God. If Eve would have brought forth that child, she would have finally done it. Did not God tell her, multiply and replenish the earth? But she had to walk over here to play the part of the whore. Now in Ephesians 1 verse 4 tells us, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Then in love, having predestinated us, past tense, under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we see that we have already been predestined to manifest Son of God seed life. John said Cain, then, notice. So we have the two lines of predestination. We have the God seed life in Son of God seeds. Then we have the devil seed life through the lineage of Cain, through the lineage of the serpent. Now John said Cain was of the wicked one. Therefore he could not have been from Adam, for Adam was a son of God. You see, because every seed is after its kind. So that in itself proves that Cain didn't come from Adam. You understand what I'm saying? Because he said he's of the wicked one. Therefore, he could not have come from Adam, because the same attributes and same characteristics, the same the same strain would have been in him. You see? But it wasn't in him. He showed he had a different strain. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in truth. You see? Therefore, he could not have been from Adam, for Adam was the son of God. Therefore, we must be able to see that Cain manifested something in him that was not manifested by Adam or Adam's children. We then need to look into the source of Cain's manifestation to identify his nature and thus his source. Both of these children were religious, as all the way down through the ages, both twins were religious. Then the question should come in mind, if every seed must come forth after his nature, then the source of both seeds were in themselves religious. Now, here's what I want to say. Brother Branham said, I can talk to a person for 3 minutes and tell whether they have the Holy Ghost. And you know what he said after that? He said, and you can too. And you can too. Why? Because if you're born again by the Holy Spirit will live itself out in your life. So when you see a person in question, there's a question then to their birth. You understand? Well, you say they're really religious people. Well, the devil was religious too. Brother Branham said he was a believer. Well, I believe everything you said, Brother Branham. He said that means you can read. That's what he said. Well, I believe everything Brother Vail said. That just means you can read. The devil believed and he trembled. You see? Now, so these things, just the outward flesh, the outward manifestations, the putting on, mean absolutely nothing. Nothing when it comes down to, do you have a revelation or do you not? Are you God's seed or are you not? Well, I'm religious. Yep, so is the devil. Well, I go to church 2 times a week, maybe 3 times a week. Well, so did the devil. Brother Branham said in the beginning, he was a preacher. Oh yeah. And his angels are angels of light. His ministers are angels of light. You see where it all comes down. It's not religion. It's not your outward show. It's not whether you pay your tithes or not. You could be the best tithe payer and still be a devil. That's right. Look at the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisee had to understand the scroll that was given to him. And the real test was they would roll up that scroll and they would put a pin through it and he would have to tell you every letter that that pin went through. He knew it that well, and yet they didn't know nothing. You understand? A lot of people know this message. They can quote Brother Branham. A lot of people know this Bible. They can quote it and then quote themselves right into hell. John 8:38, I speak that which I've seen with my Father, but you do that which you've seen with your Father. In other words, Jesus is making the distinction before Christ rejecting Pharisees that they're manifesting different attributes than what he was manifesting in himself. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, William Branham is our father in the gospel. If you were the seed of William Branham in the gospel, you would believe the things that William Branham taught. And because you don't believe what he taught, therefore you're not his seed. You understand? If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. That's Genesis 1 and 11. Again, the law of reproduction. Every seed must bring forth after its nature. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I ever myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. Now watch what Jesus says next. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. He, and let's just put it this way. The word heareth means to understand. He that is of God understandeth God's word. You therefore understand them not, because you're not of God. Now we see that Jesus identified the origin of these men by identifying their behavior with the source of that behavior. He said he was a liar and he was a murderer in the beginning. Who was that? Cain. Cain not only killed his brother, but he lied when God asked him, "Where is your brother?" "Well, how should I know? Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, I want you to understand why the law of reproduction or the law of life is so important for us to understand. You see, when Adam was created in the image of God, and God is the Word, then Adam came forth as a manifestation of God's Word. Then when he and Eve listened to the lie of the devil, it was just a matter of her listening and then going away. It wasn't just a matter of her listening and going away, but she entered into that lie, and she allowed herself to receive the seed life of the serpent. Now remember, in this sermon, Brother Branham saying there's two wombs. The womb, the natural womb, and the womb of the mind. Well, she first opened herself up to by the womb of the mind to allow the womb, her physical womb, to receive that seed. So he had to plant it in her mind first, then she opened herself up to receive it in the natural way. So first the spiritual, then the natural. And notice the Bible says when sin is conceived, it bringeth forth death. Well, what is conceiving? It's bringing forth life. So the life is actually a death. It's actually a conception of a bad of a temporary life, not a eternal life. All right. So when she allowed listened to the lie and allowed herself to receive the seed life of the serpent, then that seed life was interjected into her, and it produced in her a life that was contrary to God's own life. From whence she came. A nature that was contrary to God's own nature. A word which was contrary to God's word, which set every seed after its own kind. So what was produced in her womb broke the nature and the pattern of the nature of God in his offspring. You see, when she listened, she then partook of that lie, and the life or nature of that lie, that seed life entered into her and manifested in her body the very nature of the lie itself. Now, Brother Bram said, in order to commit adultery, you have first got to agree to do it in your mind. And that is what she did. She listened first to the devil's lie. The seed of that lie entered into her. She then became one with that lie. And then, as a result, she became one with the serpent who presented the lie to her. And as a result, she received his seed into her. And notice the wrong nature came in, and its progression took over. Now, on the other hand, we see in John 1 and 12, "But as many as received him," he is the Word, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of flesh, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So a completely different strain. You see? Now the Baptists would tell you that this means that you were a hog and God gave you power to become a son of God, so you changed your species. But that's not exactly that. Well, that's not even close to what it says. That's very contrary to the law of reproduction, which says that every seed must bring forth after its kind. Therefore, what this says is, "But to those who were born with such a nature as to receive him, these are the ones that God has given an ability to make a right decision and to accept the role that God has given them in sonship. For the same apostle also wrote in the gospel, in 1 John verse 3, 'Beloved, you are already sons.'" See? So not a hog, become a son, but you are already sons, but although you don't really know it. "But when he shall appear and manifest himself in his true character, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he truly is. And in seeing him as he truly is," the pattern, "you will begin to see who you truly are, and then you will begin to align yourself with who you truly are." And from his sermon, "God Revealing Himself to His People," Brother Branham said, The right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? The word is a seed. Is that right? That a sower sowed in the ground. And every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, here's a seed in the word. The word of God is a seed. Put it into your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it in there. It's God's business to bring forth its harvest. You just leave it there. Water it by faith and praise every day, thanking God for it. All right. So you see, it's there. That's who you are. The seed's already there. Don't question it. Water it. How do you water it? By the washing of water by the word. In order to be able to distinguish then between two of anything, we must have a way to categorize them. Since the law of reproduction was that every seed must bring forth only after its own kind, then we have a principle laid down, and that is this. If every seed has a life within it, and every seed can bring forth only after its own kind or nature, then we must look at the nature of the two trees which were not planted and see what their natures tell us. And we find that one tree was a tree of life, it was Christ. The other tree was the devil himself, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So then when we read from the spoken word as original seed, where Brother Branham makes such emphatic statements concerning our being predestinated, we can see that by the law of reproduction that that predestination is not God pushing you through a tube, but predestination can be best expressed by the law of life that says every seed must bring forth after its kind. A seed has everything it will ever need right in it to begin with. And as we have seen, according to Genesis 1 and 11, every seed must come forth according to its kind or nature. Then the very life and nature of a thing that the seed is to be is already in that seed to begin with. But the seed must be planted in the right ground, and then it must be watered, and then it must lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. And that is the same with us. We are predestined to come into the image of God's firstborn Son, who also himself came forth in the image of God. So then whose image are we to come into? Into the manifested image of God. Romans 29:30. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. That means he did beforehand determine. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So if we are predestined to conform to an image, and yet we are not shoved through a tube, then it has to be like a seed. It's the only way it can be expressed. God placed you, placed in you before everything, before the world even began, everything that you'll ever, that you ever will need in that seed. To bring into manifestation that image that he ordained for you to express. But like all seeds, you can't do it on your own. You needed the seed life in you. Someone had to place it there. And you needed someone to quicken that life to you. Therefore, the image is not left up to you, because you are predestinated to a certain image, and the quickening is not left up to you, but it is God quickening your spirit by his Spirit. You see? That he might be all in all. John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. John 5:29, for as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. So the quickening is not up to you, but up to the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. In other words, the thing we have to learn is just to get out of the way and let it happen. In Romans 8 and verse 11, but if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body, that body which is able to die, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So it's not you doing anything. Not to be a Calvinistic and say, you know, that, well, then we can do anything we want to. That's not right. What I'm saying is just get out of the way of God and let God. Because if you have seed of God in you, then he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. You see, if you have the seed of God, you're going to hunger for his things. Therefore, I hope that you can see the importance of God pre-planning your destiny and making sure it goes according to his plan by implanting his seed life in you and then quickening it to life by his own Spirit and then watering it by the washing of water by his word. Therefore, we can honestly say if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And finally, in closing, we read from Acts 17:28, for in him we live. and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. What else can I say? Genesis 1:11. Every seed after its own kind. For in him we live. Where did the life come from? In him. In him we move. Who placed the attributes there to respond in the way that you respond? He did. And we have our being. As certain also of your poets have said, because we are his offspring. For we are his offspring. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for being our Father. And we ask you, Father, to help us, Lord, to just get ourselves out of the way. And we believe, Father, that all things shall work to the good of those that love you and are thee called according to your purpose. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace.